Hello, and welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Rob F. Switch live.
This is the video game music podcast featuring only 8-bit and 16-bit era music. And I don't have any top of the show business this episode. Do you?
Just a couple of things I want to mention. First of all, I was at a bar not too far from Legacy Music Hour headquarters called the Verdugo Bar.
Okay.
This past Saturday night, and for the bar patrons, they had a various NES and Super and SNES systems with monitors, and it was pretty cool because you got to play different games. Mario Kart was the popular one.
Yeah, that's one of the best games for Super Nintendo.
For the NES, they had Tecmo Bowl, Wheel of Fortune, Metroid, but you couldn't get them to play.
Do you know why they had them set up?
I don't know. The bartender didn't seem to know. But they just had them all out there. And the problem with the NES cartridges, of course, everyone's familiar with this, is you pop it in there and then you get the blinking power light.
Yeah, you got to have the touch.
The magic touch. That's what I was telling people.
To get them to work, you know?
I got Duck Hunt.
Were you trying to get them to work?
I was blowing the cartridges and then I was just doing
the blowing. Actually, I don't think the blowing does anything, really.
Hey, you blow like this guy. And I'm pointing to myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're a good blower?
I can blow with the best of them, my friend.
Really?
Yes.
You think your blowing skills can make cartridges work?
Put a cartridge in front of me, and I will blow it. I'll get that cartridge going.
Put a cartridge in front of your mouth, and you will go to town on it. Right?
That's right.
Well,
number two.
I mean, can you handle all cartridges?
Any cartridge.
Any size?
Any size. What do you got, Dad?
8-bit, 16-bit.
Bring it on. 8 megabit, 16 mega, 24 meg.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I've blown a 24 meg before. 24 meg.
24 megs. 24 megs just blasted all over your face.
Yeah. So, number two, I went to the Legacy Music Hour mailbox last week.
Okay.
And you'd be surprised what was delivered.
Was it a special package?
Of sorts. Oh, yeah. Nothing we were expecting, that's for sure.
Oh, was it a dead rat or something?
Worse.
Poo-poo?
Black Widow.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Real, live Black Widow, slick black red hourglass on her belly.
Oh man, that's a situation. Was you it big?
No, not very big.
Huh.
Big enough.
Jeez, was it at night or daytime?
Daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else I saw in the daylight?
What?
Black Widow babies.
Really?
Little Black Widow lets.
Jeez.
Widowlings.
That is, how many of them were there?
Four. Four little black widows.
Oh, there was only four. I thought that there'd be a lot.
I figured maybe the mother ate them or the kids killed them. I don't know.
Really?
You know,
how small were they?
They're tiny. But I saw them.
Did you see eggs too?
No eggs. I just saw the black widow, the four little black widow babies, and then there were a few dead spiders in the webs.
Wow, that's
I'm imagining one of them was the husband.
Right, right, totally.
The father, not the husband, but the father.
The husband. The husband.
Yeah.
That's so scary, man.
Because, you know, I stick my hand in this mailbox.
Yeah. Do you ever go into your mailbox at night?
Yes. Sometimes I go just to check and see.
And do you ever look in the mailbox at night, or is it too dark to see at night? Or, I mean, is there a light? Do you ever look in with a light at night? Or
never
just
look in with. I will have to now.
Right. So you just stick your hand in randomly sometimes.
Right.
Jeez, that's scary. What if you stuck your hand in there?
I might not be here right now. I might be doing this from 16-bit cloud in the sky. No, 8-bit cloud in the sky.
No, you wouldn't have died. I don't think you can die from Black Widow.
Oh, yes, you can.
Really?
From a Black Widow bite?
I don't think so. I think
sure.
A baby can die, maybe, but I think a grown man, I think that you'll get hurt. I mean, your hand will swell up, or whatever it was will swell up and stuff, you know.
I think it is possible to die. I think an adult can die,
yeah,
if not treated correctly.
I guess so.
I probably could have gotten bitten and probably not thought anything of it.
Right.
And then we'd be doing this right now, and then, you know, that was me collapsing.
That's scary, man. Well, you know, I mean, Destiny Games is sending... I mean, that's pretty rotten of them, I guess. Destiny Games has sent us this family of Black Widows, you know? No, I made that joke to bring them up, actually, you know?
Destiny Games, 42134 Ford Road in Canton, Michigan. Give them a call, 734-404-5548 for all of your gaming needs, legacy and modern.
Yeah, that's our sponsor, podcast sponsor. Which, so anyway, that's that. Well, thank you for sharing those stories. Today's topic is role-playing games.
Yes.
You know, we've never done a role-playing game topic, which is surprising, you know, that we're this deep into the podcast. This is episode 46.
We've touched on many role-playing titles.
Right, and that sort of actually brings up a point that, you know, we had a Square focus.
Yes.
And we've had a Nobuo Uematsu focus, you know?
Right.
And because of that, for today's episode, I kind of strayed from the Square titles because we've already focused on the Square titles, and we'll probably do another Square focus not too long from now, too, anyway. And then also I kind of strayed from the Nobuo Uematsu tracks as well, because we've just heard a lot of him already, you know, and, right. So, you know, a lot of my tracks I think a couple Square tracks, but yeah.
Well, let's get right to it.
The heavy episode though, right? I mean, like a lot of stuff to listen to. I mean, there's just so much, actually, that's another thing is that I picked a lot of stuff from Super Nintendo because, you know, while Genesis was sort of the sports console, you know, Super Nintendo was sort of the role-playing game console.
Right.
You know? That was sort of Super Nintendo's thing.
You know? Was their thing.
And so, yeah, a lot of my tracks are Super Nintendo. And, but yeah, just a heavy episode. Just so much, there's so much material there for, you know, role-playing game stuff. There's just so many games and so many just, and not only are there so many games, but there's also the soundtracks for role-playing games are generally really large.
Right,
you know, I mean, there's just a lot of songs to listen to in a.
Well, they have to cover so many different,
like an epic story, you know.
Right, yeah. Parts of the story. There's introductions. There's drama.
Yeah.
There's sadness. There's adventure.
Yeah. So, you know, the soundtracks are pretty heavy to listen to, just even to visually.
Yes.
So yeah, just a lot of stuff, and you know, I definitely have more picks than I'm going to be able to play on today's episode, but well, let's get it started then.
I believe it is my turn to go first this time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start it off with a Game Boy track.
Okay.
Game Boy.
Yeah.
You don't really think of RPG and Game Boy too often.
Right.
Although there were a handful of titles, more than a handful.
Yeah, and we kind of covered some of them with the Nobuo Uematsu episode.
Right.
You know,
I tried to find RPG titles for Game Gear. I was trying to go with the consoles.
Yeah.
Not as many on Game Gear. There's only a handful, but I couldn't find the soundtracks. But this game is called Sword of Hope.
Okay.
Don't have a composer for it, but this is a track I really enjoyed. Hopefully you like it too. For the Game Boy, here is a track from Sword of Hope. Sword of Hope. That's a game from developer Kemco.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It sounds like a greeting card. You know that little chip in the greeting card?
Right, sure. Yeah, totally, yeah. What would be your your greeting on this card? Happy birthday from the Legacy Music Hour.
Very good.
Right, or something, I don't know.
Sorry you got bitten by a Black Widow. Condolences from the Legacy Music Hour.
Right.
By the way,
get well soon from the Legacy Music Hour.
Oh, get well soon.
Actually, let's make one right now, actually. You know?
You want to?
Well, yeah, people can maybe isolate this, and we'll make it a generic greeting, you know, for any occasion.
Okay.
And then people can isolate this if they want to and use it as a greeting.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Or something like that. So what are we going to say?
Maybe something about...
How about we just say, congratulations, we knew you could do it.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
What do you want to do?
Oh, yeah, that would make sense if you say you beat a game. You send this to somebody. You beat a game, congratulations. You know, you could, okay. All right, here we go. Congratulations.
We knew you could do it.
From the Legacy Music Hour.
By the way, this cartridge was 1 megabit.
Oh, yeah?
Blown all day and night, baby.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off my list with... well, you know, I mentioned before how Super Nintendo was sort of the... That's the console for role-playing games, you know?
Yes.
However, I'm going to start off my set of songs with... a Sega Master System track. And this is from Phantasy Star.
Oh, okay.
And this is... actually, I'm going to play the Mark III version. And you know what the Mark III is, right?
No, what are you talking about?
The Mark III is actually the Japanese version of the Sega Master System.
Okay.
And the particular thing about this is that the Japanese version of the Sega Master System, the Mark III... had the capability to play FM synth. They had an FM synth in it, which they didn't have in the North American version. So this version that I'm gonna play the Japanese version of this game, and so this actually utilizes the FM synth that was in the Mark III.
Okay.
So this is music composed by Tokuhiko Uwabo, and the name of the track is called Lassic, LASSIC, and it's from Phantasy Star for the Mark III. This is music from Phantasy Star, the original Phantasy Star for the Sega Mark III. Music by Tokuhiko Uwabo. And this is Lassic. And, yeah. I really like this opening part.
My favorite part's coming up. Here we go. Here it comes.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, I like that too. I like that a lot, yeah. And then I like this too. And this one that comes back into the beginning of the loop.
Well, I'm going to play a Phantasy Star themed track right now.
Mm-hmm.
This one is from the game Phantasy Star 4,
mm-hmm.
The End of the Millennium.
Okay.
And this track is called Pain, which is what I probably would have felt after being bit by a black widow.
Yeah.
Composers for Phantasy Star 4 are Izuho Takeuchi and Yoshimi Nakagaki. pain. Do you feel it? Phantasy Star 4. Does that have the same kind of chords as Hotel California? Does that remind you of Hotel California at all?
Does it? What?
That beginning part, especially.
So it's... Yeah.
A little bit.
Probably, yeah.
This sounds...
Yeah, it does, actually. There's some other songs that have the chord changes.
Guess
too.
What? I fooled you, Brent. This is an exact copy of Hotel California.
By Chuck Berry. I'm surprised. We're, you know, 20-ish minutes into the show, and we haven't heard from a Super Nintendo track yet.
Oh.
Well, it's about to change.
Here it comes.
So, I mentioned before on the last couple episodes that I've been playing this game called Tenchi Sozo, which is it was released in Europe as Terranigma.
Yes.
And it's a role-playing game, action role-playing game by Enix. And I'm going to play a track from that game. And this is music composed by Miyoko Kobayashi and Masanori Hikichi. And the name of this track is Unforeseen Occurrence. And this is probably my favorite track from the soundtrack.
Okay.
And it's a pretty good soundtrack, too. Pretty good music. Music from Tenchi Sozo, otherwise known as Terranigma. Music by Miyoko Kobayashi and Masanori Hikichi for the Super Famicom. Music from Tenchi Sozo. Music by Miyoko Kobayashi and Masanori Hikichi. Unforeseen Occurrence. Never released in North America. I love this part right here. This part's so good right here. That part's my favorite part. So good.
This has got a new age feel.
Yeah, it does. Does, yeah. I really like how that. That's so good. That one section. I mean, I think the whole thing is really good. But this game's pretty heavy. There's some heavy themes in the game, and it's interesting that it was never. I mean, I can sort of see why it wasn't released in North America because of some of the dark themes in it, but I don't know.
What dark theme?
There's some dark themes just about death and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, that. Yeah.
I like this right here. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that's it. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's such a good track. Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's what?
That's a good one.
It's a good one? Yeah. Why did you say it like that?
That was my Arnold impression.
Wait, why?
I'm just trying to work it into the act.
You mean the act, the Rob F?
The Rob
Legacy
F.
Music Hour act?
Yes.
Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions?
Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions.
Okay, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to play an Enix track as well.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I should mention that... You know, Terranigma or Tenchi Sozo. It's actually part of a sort of trilogy of games that were put out by Enix. They're not. I don't think story wise they're related to each other, but they're known as a trilogy or something like that. And the first one in the series is Soul Blazer. The second one in this trilogy is Illusion of Gaia, and the third one being Tenchi Sozo. And those first two were released in North America. What was I going to say? I was going to say something about that, but I don't know. Oh yeah, no, I think we're going to be hearing from all three of those games on this episode.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I anyway.
So Soul Blazer is actually a soundtrack I drew from for our Legacy Dance Party.
Okay, yeah.
I played a Soul Blazer track, which I really enjoyed.
Right.
But I'm not going to play that one for...
Do you remember what that one was called?
No, I don't.
Because I have a Soul Blazer track picked out for today's episode.
Oh, really?
And it's pretty funky. I'll talk about it later.
If you play it, then I'm not even going to say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll let you know.
Right.
And maybe we're on the same page. Right. But this track, it spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Lonely Town.
Wow, these themes, it's like we got pain, and that last track sounded pretty dramatic, you know.
Yes,
it was, it actually, you know, sounded like it was called Unforeseen Occurrence, and now we've got Lonely Town.
That's wind.
Mm-hmm.
Lonely Town, from the game Soul Blazer, composer Yukihide Takakawa.
And, you know, even though this says this is a very sort of Baroque-sounding track,
yes,
I can kind of hear that there's a little bit of funk to it, though, too. You know?
Oh, yeah?
Did you hear that a little bit?
A little funk?
It's more in that second section of it, you know? You know, the sort of funk element of some of the other tracks on this game, I kind of hear that a little bit in this sort of very classical sounding track.
I was thinking of saving this for a future classical.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Episode. It would totally work. Yeah. But here, look. I think coming up right here, there's a little bit of a funk to it. Check it out. Right here. Just the bass, kind of. No, there's something kind of a little bit funky about that. Just a little bit.
Maybe the composer and the orchestra does the robot at that point?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. The conductor, I mean.
Right, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. I'm going to play something from Mado Monogatari, music by Anasuke Nagao and Tsuyoshi Matsushima. And... this is a Japanese release only for the Super Famicom.
Mm-hmm.
And this track is called Magic School. We'll be right back. music from Madou Monogatari for the Super Famicom, composers Inosuke Nagao and Tsuyoshi Matsushima. This is Infant Magic School, not Magic School. I said Magic School earlier.
That's a big difference. But
Infant Magic School.
Yeah. Well, this little baby's learning tricks.
Yeah. Listen to that funky bass. See if I can isolate it. Listen to that. Yeah, like that. Woo. That's I like that. It's cool. It's cool, huh?
That is.
It's just like this slide action going. I love that one just now.
You think David Copperfield ever went to Infant Magic School?
I don't know. Maybe. There are magic camps for teens and preteens and stuff.
For infants. That's
right.
You have to see if they're gifted.
I hung out with these guys who had been doing magic since they were kids, you know?
Oh, yeah?
And they're professional magicians. What did you say? Did I say magicians?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I thought for some reason I might have said comedians, but I was hanging out with these magicians, and they're all professional magicians, and they asked me if I wanted to. Okay, well, one of them was actually a comedian and a magician, and okay. I was doing some shows with him,
right.
And I was in Philadelphia.
You want to put on some magic?
Put on the magic music?
Yeah.
It was in Philadelphia, you know?
Okay.
And they, you know, I like magic tricks and stuff.
Okay,
and
who doesn't? Hey, you've showed me some tricks.
That's right, I have, actually. I've done some magic.
That's pretty good.
I've done some magic on you. So they asked me, you know, they said that they were going to go jam later that night.
A magician jam?
You know, similar to like a musician's jamming, right? But, you know, magician's jamming. He said, hey, we're going to jam. Do you want to come hang out with us when we jam? And I said, yeah, sure. You know, I mean, what does that mean even, you know?
Did you think that you were going to have to be a part of the jam? Or this was specifically implied to watch the jam?
Well, that's what it would be, watching them jam, I guess. And I kind of was thinking, am I going to learn some secrets here or what, you know?
Right.
I went with them to the hotel room, and you know, we jammed all night. And I didn't learn any secret. I didn't learn how to do any tricks, but I saw some very cool stuff. I saw some very cool stuff.
They were just doing tricks for each other.
Yeah, that's what they were, and they kind of know what they're doing, you know. And so they're kind of seeing how the other person is, you know, using their technique and stuff like that. So it was a way for them to kind of show off to each other, and then also I was just totally amazed. Also, you know.
Did anyone do something, and did the other magicians say, oh, whatever? Who doesn't do that?
No,
it was all a positive vibe.
They're pretty tight. Maybe one of them wasn't as skilled as the other two, okay. But you know, they were all pretty good though. Yeah,
should go back to Infant Magic School.
Right,
take it over again.
Yeah. I'm surprised you graduated from Infant Magic School. those guys had been doing magic since they were kids. I mean, they went to magic camp, you know, when they were kids. So it's kind of close to an Infant Magic School situation.
Anyway. I'm a big fan of magicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay. My next track is a TurboGrafx-16
mm-hmm.
track.
Yeah.
Track from my game on the TG-16.
Mm-hmm.
TG-16, as I like to call it. The game is called Dungeon Explorer. Okay. No composer for this one. but it's a track that I really enjoyed. So here you go. Dungeon Explorer, TG, Uno Seis. Dungeon Explorer. I love it.
You like how it slides in? It passed that part.
Oh, but no, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Huh. Yeah, this is actually a Hudson Soft title.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the developer was Atlas.
Right, Atlas. Atlas did a lot of stuff that was published by Hudson Soft, you know. I think Atlas did Bonk's Adventure, but I'm not sure. It might have been Red or Atlas, or maybe both, actually. It was a combined effort.
Did you know that there is a character in this game called Judas?
Oh, okay.
Who betrays certain characters.
Mm.
So it's got a little biblical theme. It's like the In-N-Out putting the quotes on the burger. They just slip that in there.
Putting the quotes on the what? The burger?
On the burger wrappers.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or the passages, not the quotes, but the passages.
Right. Actually, that's a good segue for my next track, actually.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to play something from Last Bible 3.
Oh. I didn't know that the Bible made an RPG game.
Right. Well, this actually has nothing to do with... I played it once before on our program, but it has nothing to... There's no religious connection to it. It's called Last Bible. There's a series of games that are called Last Bible, but they don't.
Okay.
They're not... It's not related to... It's not affiliated with the actual Bible and, you know, or religious stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, Last Bible 3. This is a Super Famicom release. Music by Hiroyuki Yanada. And I actually... I played this on the New Age episode. The track I'm going to play now is called Shark Ship. And this track, it really sounds like, to me, like 90s kind of rock in a way or something.
Okay.
Anyway, you'll hear what I mean. But yeah, it almost doesn't even sound like video game music in a way. But it does in a lot of other ways, though.
Okay.
Anyway, music from Last Bible 3, music by Hiroyuki Yanada.
Thank you.
This is Last Bible 3, Shark Ship, from composer Hiroyuki Yanada.
Sounds biblical. It's got that organ in the background.
Oh, okay. You know, another connection actually to your last track was this is an Atlas game also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, this just to me sounds like some early 90s kind of Britpop type thing or something. Or not just Britpop, but I don't know, some sort of 90s rock kind of thing. I don't know. Especially that bass line, you know?
It reminds me of the end of the Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, really?
When all the kids are running and music is playing.
You know, it kind of reminds me of bands like Yo La Tengo.
I don't know that band.
But, I mean, listen to the bass right here. It's just very, to me, very early 90s kind of, or 90s, you know, right here. It's right here, the bass. And the drums, you know, I don't even know if it's like early 90s. It's actually just it sounds very 90s, you know. But I like it though. It's really I got a good groove to it, and it's
the Bible is missing a hip soundtrack. I think
it's kind of an uplifting sound, you know. It has an uplifting sound to it.
This would be the soundtrack to the Old Testament. That's what I would do if I was producing the Bible, the album.
Uh-huh.
This would be Old Testament. Up next is another Game Boy RPG game track.
Mm-hmm.
This is from a game called Great Greed.
Mm-hmm.
Great Greed. Fitting for all the news that's been happening in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you keep up with the news, right, Brent?
Sort of.
Oh, yeah, with the stock, well, what's happening with stocks and Ponzi schemes.
Yeah.
I don't have a name for this track or a composer.
Yeah.
But it's a cool track. Here you go. Great Greed for the Game Boy. Great Greed for the Game Boy, and that is a Namco title released in North America in 1993.
It gets really high there at the end.
That's some of the highest I've ever heard on any system.
I know, that's probably like the highest pitch I've heard on, definitely, it's pretty high.
I mean, do you hear that right
there? Well, no, but it ends at highest, it seems like it goes as high as you can get without it becoming only audible to dogs or something.
By the way, if you're wondering, two windows have been shattered at Legacy Music Hour headquarters in the last minute.
Okay. But this gets really high right here. This is like the highest, seems like the highest it could possibly go. Here it comes. Yeah, I like that too. I like how that, yeah, it kind of, there's that thing where it's like minor at first and then it becomes major at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, 2 megabit cartridge. A little more of a challenge, but I'll blow it, get it going.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to play something from Soul Blazer now.
Oh, okay.
And, okay, I'll tell you, this is the thing about this track. All right. Well, first of all, so, okay, this music is, as we mentioned earlier, Yukihide Takakawa and, Soul Blazer for the Super Nintendo. So, you know, there's a few tracks in this game that are just have a really funky sound to them, you know?
Okay.
And they start out really, you know, when I first listened to it, I thought to myself, ooh, I like this. This sounds good. I like this. And then melodically and harmonically, it didn't go anywhere for me. It sort of just didn't, it just sort of stayed on that opening riff and it didn't really go anywhere. And it was a little bit of a letdown to me, you know? I just, when I first heard the tracks, I thought, ooh, this is really promising. And then it just didn't, you know, it just didn't really deliver in the end. And so I kind of put it aside, but then I don't know, something in my head or in my ears was itching to hear that funky beat again. So I went back and I listened to it again, and I kept on finding myself listening to it over and over again to hear this funky beat. And so even though the song didn't really do a lot for me, the funky beat just keeps you coming back for more.
You know, I've been in a lot of relationships like that.
Well, you know,
her funky beat keeps me coming back, and it just is not doing it for me. But what's your track called?
The track I'm going to play is called, you know, I actually had trouble deciding. I was going to, wasn't sure if I was going to play Underground Castle or Lost Side Marshes. I finally decided to play it, Lost Side Marshes. And it's, and like I said, it's got a funky beat to it. And, it really grew on me, actually. And it grew on me enough that I thought, I'm going to play this on the show, actually, because it's, you know what? I like this, actually. It didn't go anywhere at first for me. Now, I don't know. It's something, it's definitely, I acquired a taste for this, and I like it now. It's got a minimalistic approach, definitely.
Do you want to know something?
What?
That was the track in my dance party set.
Oh, Lost Side Marshes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to what you're about to dish up.
Yeah.
Dish out.
Oh, yeah. No, but I like it. I like the track.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to be dishing out with anybody. So, Lost Side Marshes from Soul Blazer for the Super Nintendo. Soul Blazer.
Brent and I just had a little jam session of our own.
Just had a little dance party right now. Legacy Music headquarters right now. So this is Lost Side Marshes from Yukihide Takakawa. And this is a... I like that funky beat, you know? I like the song. I do like the song, definitely. But at first it didn't go anywhere for me, but then it grew on me, though, you know?
We got to play DJ for our dance party.
Yeah.
Right. So the fun for me was picking which songs were going to go after the song that I just played.
Right.
And what I found with this song is the song I played immediately after this one is Bayou Billy background music. I think it's called Background Music A.
Okay, yeah.
It's seamless.
Oh, yeah. It sounds so cool. So you just think the transition works really well, huh?
Yeah, both have that really cool beat.
Right. Now, the other interesting thing about this and the other kind of funky tracks on this game is that it really reminds me of early 80s No Wave music. Do you know about the No Wave movement at all?
No.
So it's
No, I don't.
You know, you've heard of New Wave, right? You know, 80s New Wave, right?
Yes.
It's sort of a reaction to that, in a way. You know, it's like an underground sort of anti-commercial movement. A lot of it happened in New York, you know, in the early 80s.
Okay.
And it's sort of a post-punk kind of, I don't know, there's a rawness to it, like a punk rawness to it. But there's also, they used a lot of disco beats, usually. And but it was very unglam and it was very kind of gritty. And there was jazz elements also. I think there's, it could be also described as sort of like punk funk in a way.
Punk
or yeah, kind of like a raw, it's like funky, but also kind of raw and gritty. And I don't know. Anyway, so it's kind of hard to describe. But anyway, but yeah, no wave. It really reminds me of no wave music in that there's a sort of a minimalistic quality to it. And it's got that funky, but it's got that disco sound, but it also sounds kind of raw too, especially actually right. The other track, Underground Castle, but this too though, you know, in that early 80s kind of stuff, you hear a lot of saxophone too, but there was actually a no wave revival in the early 2000s as well.
Oh yeah.
And I think that the band The Rapture was kind of in that, I don't know, in that vein too. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, I like this track, definitely.
It's a great track.
See, right there, that to me really sounds no wave to me, right there. It totally sounds like no wave, you know? Yeah.
I have got a track from the game Tales of Phantasia.
Yeah, I have a track picked from Tales of Phantasia also, but I don't think we may be able to get to it today, but we might not. I might just have to save it for another day.
Okay. This one is, it's Tales of Phantasia with a PH.
Right.
Like fat with a PH.
Right.
Composers Motoi Sakuraba and Shinji Tamura.
I think also Ryota Furuya also.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is a Super Nintendo game, of course. Or Super Famicom. Super Famicom.
Right.
Yeah.
Famicom.
Mm-hmm. Sfamicom.
Sfamicom. And it's a Namco title. This track is called Mystic Forest. Teruzu Obu Fantasia. Fantasia. That's a Japanese pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
And that track is called Mystic Forest. That beginning part, it reminds me of the... it's that classical music song that they always play in the cartoons when it's morning.
Oh, it's the... I want to say that's... It's like from Romeo and Juliet or something like that.
Yeah.
Trying to remember who does that, actually.
It's a famous classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to know who composed that. I forgot, yeah.
I love this forest feel. I like the fluttering of birds.
No, it's not Romeo and Juliet. It's something else. I think it's called Morning. It's called Morning or something like that, yeah. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Fluttering, yeah, yeah. I like this part right here, actually. There's the harp doing stuff.
Oh, right.
Right there. You hear that? That tiki 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 tiki. It kind of got really fast. This has got a very new wave feel to it.
By the way, you know how big this cartridge is.
How big is it?
48 megabit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one. That's what she said.
You think you could take it down, though?
If I had to blow this one to get it working, it would take some time. I'd have to use my lungs.
You have to use your diaphragm. I'm going to play something from Fire Emblem for the Famicom.
Okay.
Famicom only release. And this is music by Yuka Tsujiyoko, who I think is credited as Yuka Bamba. And I think that might have been her maiden name or something like that.
Okay.
I think it was her maiden name, yeah. So it's credited as Yuka Bamba, but then later became Yuka Tsujiyoko. And this is Battle Map 2 CP Attack. So I guess CP is, you know, computer or something like that. So Battle Map 2 CP Attack. From Fire Emblem for the Famicom. From Fire Emblem for the Famicom, music by Yuka Tsujiyoko, and this is Battle Map 2 CP Attack. And I really love how this, there's just this constant bass line, you know, and it kind of just stays constant the whole time. And there's something kind of like tonal about this, and I like how the drums kick in, too, a little bit right here.
Oh, yeah. Really good sounding drums.
Yeah. It's neat. It's really neat. I think it's a really neat track, yeah. Yeah, I think the contrast between the bass kind of being pretty active, you know, and then these sort of long, these sort of sustained notes, you know. You know? Like, the melody is really slow and really long notes, you know, but the bass is sort of moving a lot quicker. I think that's a neat contrast, you know. And then I like this too, right here. I love this part too.
You did a sprinkle action, that's how I think of
it. Yeah, sprinkle action, yeah. Something about that song that just has there's a certain color to it that I just really like. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you say it's magical?
No.
No, not magical. Mighty?
No.
Mm.
There's something that, you know, something about that track for some reason reminds me of my grandma's house.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not trying to say this, it has a nostalgic sound to it. I guess I am sounding, it does have a nostalgic sound to it for some reason. Yeah. But it doesn't make me think of the early 80s or something, or the 80s. It makes me think of the 50s for some reason.
The 50s?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that has no tie into my next track, which is a Sega Genesis track from the developer Electronic Arts.
Mm-hmm.
This is Might and Magic 2.
Okay.
I think these are the first Western composers we'll hear from on this episode.
Uh-huh.
The composers are Brian Howarth and Rob Wallace.
Okay.
This track is called Outside, Might and Magic 2. Might and Magic 2, Gates to Another World. That is Outside.
Yeah, interesting track.
There's a lot of stuff going on because it goes in so many different directions.
Yeah, it's got this... This is the pop breakdown right here.
The beginning, it sounded
dun,
like...
Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's got this, right. This... It sounds like something, you know what I mean? And then... but then it's got this kind of... I don't know. It's kind of experimental in a way. Yeah.
It goes into there. It is something else.
Right.
And you know, it's got that the Western signature long piece.
Right. Well, you know, actually, I noticed that it's not even just a Western thing, but I mean, Western tracks are definitely long, but even Japanese tracks. On the Genesis, they will go, there'll be a whole loop, and then it'll loop over again, and then after it loops over again, there's a new section. There's like a bridge, you know?
Sure.
I noticed that's even some from the Japanese composers, you'll hear a longer piece like that, you know? Oh, Outrun is a good example, actually.
Good example. Great example.
Very long tracks on Outrun.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play something. I'm going to play the first square thing we've heard on the show, you know? And like I said earlier, it's kind of... I tried to sort of stray from playing any square tracks on this episode because, you know, we focused on square already and we played a lot of Nobuo Uematsu already.
Right.
You know, we'll be doing a square focus again not too long from now. But this is a square track. This is a square game called... And it's a Super Famicom release only. It's called Live Alive, or Live Alive, but I'm thinking it's probably Live Alive. And it's music composed by Yoko Shimomura, and you know she worked at Capcom for a while, and then she moved over to Square. She actually pretty much composed a lot of the Street Fighter II music, So if you hear the Street Fighter II influence or something like that in this one, well, this time you'll definitely be you're right. And actually, I was listening to some of the tracks in this game, and I could hear the Street Fighter II in there. So, but yeah, same composer. So Yoko Shimomura, and this is called Prelude to the Demon King.
And Bison.
Right. Oh no, Sagat. Sagat.
Sagat.
Okay. He's the prelude, right?
Okay. To, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, wouldn't he be?
I didn't mean to interrupt your intro. I just had to get that in.
No, but wouldn't he? If M. Bison is the Demon King, the prelude to it would be Sagat.
Well, actually, Balrog would be that.
You think so? Why would he be?
Well, in the Japanese version.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, yeah. That's right. But okay, so Live Alive. Music from Live Alive for the Super Famicom. Prelude to the Demon King. Music composed by Yoko Shimomura for the game Live Alive.
You don't hear M. Bison? I'm being serious. You don't hear the M. Bison?
No, actually, not in this track. I don't hear any Street Fighter 2 in this track.
Oh, I hear it.
Oh, do you?
I hear it.
Oh, you know what I do, though? There is a kind of like a Glocken or like a bell chime type thing, and that there is one used in the M. Bison stage, actually. But,
I mean, it sounds like a happier version of the M. Bison song.
I don't hear that, though. So.
Open your ears, Brent.
But I love this track.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Love the flutes, you know, going really fast there. This part right here is really... Look at the drums there, too.
Brent, I'm sorry.
Very dramatic, very dramatic.
Bison bell.
Huh?
That's a bison bell.
Bison bell. Yes. I like that, how the drums went... Go back into the drums. Yeah, this is just a... Really, what a great piece, you know? Just if you listen to all the voices, you know, you've got this sort of, they're not flutes. I don't think they're flutes, but they're like oboes or something like that, you know, that doing that voice, you know, that's just, I don't know. I just really like how all the voices are layered together and how they, you know, they interact with each other, you know. I really like this part coming up right here. Because it changes to major right here. It's major. This is good right there. Oh, I like you kind of hear it as it's fading out there. You hear that flute, the flute or whatever, that's, you know, kind of just do all the way up. Anyway. All right, so that's it. So that's a little focus on role-playing games this episode.
Yes.
The role-playing game episode.
I had fun.
Yeah, no.
We got a lot of stuff covered.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's crazy, though. We played 14 tracks. You know, it's, I don't know, it's, it goes, it go, it went by quickly, but I feel like, I don't know, we used to be able to, I don't know, we used to be able to get in, you know, 9 or 10 tracks each in within an hour, but I don't know, 14.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's tons more role-playing stuff, so, you know, whatever, we'll probably do another role-playing episode eventually. For a full track listing, check out legacymusichour.com. And you can contact us at legacymusichour@gmail.com.
Give us a call, 281-SONIC-91.
Yeah, and if I don't know, I get, we're on Stitcher now, so that's an easy, I guess it might be an easier way to listen to us on a mobile device. But
iTunes or Stitch us, whatever you want. Yeah. Or in Google Plus us.
and then, so that's that. And then, what else? Anything else? Okay, so next week's episode. Next week's episode is a focus on Taito. Which is another heavy episode, actually. I mean, I've listened to a ton of stuff for the Taito episode.
Right.
And both of these, back-to-back, both heavy episodes, cause just a lot to listen to. But Taito, really interesting. I learned a lot. I'll talk about it on the next episode. Anyway, Taito, some real good stuff for the Taito episode. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to leave you with Illusion of Gaia.
Okay, about
so
time.
This, yeah, right. So a listener mentioned this game to us a couple times. And actually, I've played this game. I own this game for Super Nintendo. I've played through it. I've beat it. Okay. And I've never been like terribly crazy about the soundtrack, but there's some good tracks. It's a good soundtrack. It's just, I don't know. It never blew me away as hard as some other soundtracks.
Blue as hard as
Rob F. Switch's Diaphragm or whatever
on the cartridges.
But this, as I mentioned, this is the second installment in the sort of trilogy, the Enix trilogy that I was talking about earlier, Soul Blazer, and then this, and then Terranigma. And this is music by Yasuhiro Kawasaki, and this is called The Secret of Nazca, and it's music from Illusion of Gaia for the Super Nintendo. My name is Brent Weinbach.
My name is Rob F.
Thank you for listening.